Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In what ways can you best show your love for others? And in what way do you like to receive love the best? One author has stated that there are five different modes of love that we usually experience. Love through positive words, love through physical touch, love through the giving of good gifts, love through time spent together, and love shown through acts of serving the other. And we all know the importance of being loved. You need to hear words of encouragement from one another. We as human beings need to be around each other and have contact with each other. It is always a blessing to receive good things freely from those that we love. Just being around each other in good times and in bad brings the knowledge that we are loved, that we are cared for. And simply doing kind things for one another shows that care and that thought that they have for us. Now that is all truly a lot about the love that we have for each other, but what about God's love? How does He best express His love? The chief, most paramount sign of God's love is, of course, His only Son, Jesus the Christ, taking on our sin and dying for us upon the cross. In His suffering and His death, Jesus paid the full price for our forgiveness of sins. But why was this necessary? Why was this the highest sign of God's love for us? Well, consider for a moment what life here would be like without the forgiveness of sins. Not just from God our Father, but from each other. In our day-to-day lives, without forgiveness of sins from each other, we would spend every waking moment plotting how we might get even with those who have wronged us. Perhaps far worse, we would be fretting over the ways that others would be scheming to get even with us for the wrong things we have done to them. True peace, then, would elude us. Forever, you would have to watch your back at all times. Your trust in others would cease to exist. The world that would certainly be a hostile and savage place, far worse than it is even now. And before God, you would certainly have no hope, no comfort, no joy. For each sin that we commit against God, He would owe us punishment. You would then have true justification for your unfounded fear that God is punishing you for the every single hard time or lost loved one or ruined relationship that you go through. It is our sin that causes our grief. It is our sin that ruins our best relationships, the strongest family ties, and destroys even the good blessings that God has freely given. And so the forgiveness of sins is what is needed the most. And that God has called Himself into action over your sin and mine to win for you the forgiveness of your sin, that is His chief sign of love. God does not desire the death of the sinner. God desires that all people should be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. The Lord created you to be free from all fear, from all anxiety, from all sin, from all guilt, from all harm, from all danger. And it is His love for you that has moved God to act on your behalf, to give you the remedy for your sin. Jesus, God's own Son, became the sole target for God's punishment of sin. Every blow of punishment that you and I have earned for our sin has been redirected to Jesus. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, as written by Isaiah the prophet. But how do we know that all of this is true? How do we know any of this at all? Well, this is the first way in which God shows his love for you, through his Holy Word. God has seen fit to record all of his actions for your salvation. His Holy Spirit has moved prophets and apostles to write these divine actions down. And they have been collected, gathered together, and preserved in the sacred book we know so well as the Bible. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." What a blessing of salvation for us, that the word of the Lord endures forever. And it has, and it does, as us hearing it and believing that word today, here and now, is the sure evidence. And our gospel text for today from Luke 24 includes Jesus' word about the love of God that comes through his word. He says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in all nations in his name." Such is the good and the gracious will of God. This is his desire, that forgiveness won by Jesus Christ should be announced, should be declared to all the world. And God is certainly doing this even now through his church, through all Christians who hear the word of forgiveness and share that word, speak that word to others. God's love has truly been delivered to sinners through the word of the Scriptures. And that word of grace has also been generously attached to the waters of baptism. The Lord Jesus instituted a lavish washing away of our sin. He began the sacrament of holy baptism as a physical means of delivering the grace of God to mankind. In his word, God himself applies great gifts and blessings to the sacrament of baptism. Paul says, "You are clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. You are born again," as Jesus says to Nicodemus, "born from above. You have the forgiveness of your sins," as Peter proclaims to the Jews at the Pentecost. And as Peter later writes in his own epistle, baptism now saves you. And in still another way, the God of all grace and mercy delivers his love to you in the other sacrament that Jesus instituted, the Lord's Supper. On the night of his own betrayal, Jesus took the bread and the wine and he spoke his promises over them. Whoever receives this sacrament receives the body and blood of Christ, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, the true preacher of the gospel. In with and under, the bread and the wine is the very body and blood of Jesus, the true source of life and salvation. Jesus declares that his body and his blood in this sacrament are the new covenant between God and man. Every time you receive the Lord's Supper, it is God's forgiveness given to you in Jesus. And God remembers that all-sufficient death of his Son, and he graciously forgives all your sins anew. In addition, even to that, our good and gracious God assures you that your sins stand forgiven each and every day as you repent of your sin, daily drown the old Adam and receive forgiveness in absolution. You read that forgiveness in God's Word, the Bible. You read it as it is proclaimed to you in your gospel-centered devotions. And you read it. Indeed, you hear that forgiveness of your sins announced to you personally and individually by the pastor in holy absolution. God is simply the best displayer of love that there ever has been. No one can compare with His grace, with His love, with His expressions of love for you. You are truly blessed to be called His own child, to be baptized into Christ, to be fed with His gracious body and blood. And the full embodiment of God's love for you is truly Jesus. He has spoken to you the true words of love in the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus has laid His hand upon you in holy baptism, marking you as His own, His seal upon you. And His body and His blood are placed into your mouths in His holy supper. The Lord Jesus deigns to dwell here with you upon the earth now and forevermore. And He most assuredly has showered you with the greatest gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation, all by performing the greatest act of service ever, the Son of God, giving His life as the ransom for all. And so, as it has been done all for you, His own dear child, it is you that He loves so dearly. Amen. And the peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto that life everlasting. Amen.